Well, praise the Lord. It's been a tough week for all of us. And I think it's been a tough week for a lot of people. And it's certainly challenged all of us. And but I want to take you to Matthew. You are the people of God. You are His holy ones. You are the ones that love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, and this is where you got to put your heads, this is where you got to put your hearts, and you got to do it with the scripture. It says, you are the salt, in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You know, salt stands for healing, stands for commitment. If you lose that, if you lose who you are, then you're absolutely good for nothing. And you got to ask yourself a question today. Who are you? Are you the child of the living God, or are you something else? Are you here in Christ's stead, reconciling the world to Himself, to God Almighty, or are you, where's your head at? That's what you got to ask yourself. It then says, verse 14, you are the lights of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Go to 1 John, please, chapter 2. You are the salt, folks. You are the light. And that's how I picture you. That's how the Father looks at you. This is what He's called you to. This is what it's all about. The world, in contrast, is evil. It's always been evil. It continues to be evil. It's not any more evil than it was a month ago. It's not any more evil than it was 1,000 years ago. You know, I know that there's an awful lot of preachers that saying, oh, well, it's the last times. No, if it was the last times, it'd be like super bad. I mean, these guys must not have read the Bible. I mean, in the book of Revelation, it says it's going to be so bad that you want to kill yourself and you're not going to be able to. That's bad. Okay, this is, it's not anything pleasant, but it is not the end times, okay? There's no comparison to what Scripture says. In 1 John chapter 2, we're going to start here in verse 21. It says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. This section here is written for those who know the truth. He's reiterating things that you should know. And he's putting it down here. No lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the Antichrist and denies the Father and the Son. And that word denies has this sense to it of habitually. In other words, he's constantly denying the Christ. Everybody has a bad moment in life where their faith is challenged and they wonder. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people who habitually, they've already sold out. that they're denying Jesus Christ. And they denied him, and they deny the Father. And that sense of habitualness or constant is in these sections here. So let's just move on. Verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. See, the word that you have heard from the beginning, you let it abide in you. And it shall remain in you. And you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. You know, verse 24, this word that not only in the book of John, here, 1 John, but the word that you've heard from the very beginning, and it's really going to be talking about what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done. We're not talking about from Genesis. We're talking about from the ministry of Christ. You have to keep that within you. It's got to remain. It also says in 24, it says, let that therefore abide in you. Remember when we talked about the Holy Spirit last week, that same word abide, meno, is the same word that's talking about here. And it's the other reason why I wanted to do this teaching. It's you dwell in him. You keep yourself dwelling in him. And it's got to remain. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain constantly, you don't give it up. It's it's permanent in you. You also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Your fellowship, the walk that you have with him, that will continue. We'll go back to John 13 and 14 and see some of these truths again, but I just want you to see it here. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even our eternal life. We have eternal life because of what our Lord has done. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. There's an entire... the devil has, isn't it interesting? All this comes around in our lives in these last couple of weeks, and yet the churches aren't able to come together, and people are told not to come together and worship, and is it coincidence? I don't think so, but the point is, it's people feel alone. They can't come together as they would normally come. They can't be encouraged as they would normally be encouraged. It's a tough time. The deceptor, the devil, the one who would deceive us, would tell us, the word is not really true. You're not feeling it. You're not feeling it. Well, you know what? Whether you're alone in a prison cell or in a hole like the Apostle Paul was, or on an island like John here is, back in the first century, and everything, because when you read 1 John, it's kind of like, wow, this goes right back to the ABCs of Christianity. And that's because so many people were being deceived. They had a whole new thing, the Gnostics were coming around. I think I screwed up the pronunciation of that. But the Gnostics were coming around. Jesus Christ really didn't come in the flesh. He came by spirit. It's really, the dead are not really dead. They're just floating around. And the entire church was being ripped apart by these new doctrines. And they were just deceptions. They were to lead people astray. Also, you're not responsible for your actions. That's another great one. Verse 27, but the anointing, the charisma, the anointing, which you have received of him, the Spirit that you have received of him, it abides in you. You know, anointing means to be have oil rubbed on you. It's a figurative kind of thing. You have this Spirit massaged into you. You have this calling. You have this. Just think about the whole aspect of Jesus Christ calling us out to do his word, to be his substitute here on earth, to walk in his steps, to do the works that he did, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. I am sending you from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is that whole concept that you're a called out one. You're the salt of the earth. You are the light of this world. You know? But the anointing which you have received of him, it abides. It's there. It's living within you. You got this Spirit. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you, for all things is and is true and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, and you shall abide in him. You don't need, remember what the Spirit does, brings all things back to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. It's your counselor. It's like having Christ personally in your heart, your head. It's your guide. It convicts the world of sin, of judgment. I mean, you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your head. Now, if you'd think you don't need to study the Bible or that you don't need to put it together well, you're missing the point. The whole point was the Lord Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. He always did exactly what the Word said. It's not with exclusion to the Word, as some people have taught. You know, I don't need a teacher. I don't need to study because, you know, whatever happens in life, the Spirit will tell me what to do. Well, you know, try it. It doesn't work out so well for a lot of folks. You're smarter than that. Let me put it to you this way. John is talking to people who say, you know this truth. You know what's been from the beginning. You understand what he's taught and what he said. And this Spirit, you've got it, and you don't have to be misled by anybody else. Verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him. You stay steadfast, you abide. You live in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. When our Lord and Savior comes back, what's he going to find you doing? Walking by the paraclete that he's given you? Or doing some ungodly, stupid thing that the adversary would have all men do? I mean, that's been the temptation as I watch all this stuff that goes around me, right? My heart breaks in one sense. My prayers have been increased. But at the same time, I'm also tempted to be more angry and reactive and everything else. So which one are you going to choose? Abide in him. That's what we need to choose to do. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, and God bless, it would be great if he just showed up now, huh? When he shall, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, if you know that our Lord is absolutely righteous, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Well, again, in the study that I did, it says, if you have absolute confidence That he conformed to the Father's will, that he did exactly what God wanted him to do. You know that everyone that doth righteousness is born of him. So here it is. The people who walk like Jesus Christ, they have a spirit. But they also, Jesus conformed to the will of the Father. He always obeyed the will of the Father. He did not live for himself. He did not necessarily think the thoughts that he wanted to think. He just did the Father's will. Then those who have his spirit do what? Righteousness. They also conform to the scriptures. They also hold themselves in and do the things of God. They are likewise walking in his steps, which it talks about in this section, in other places in this section of 1 John. We're walking with him. We're walking like him. We're thinking what God would have us to think and put on and all the rest. See, don't be deceived. It's really kind of like, because the people who would mislead you, that would take you out of this aspect of Christianity life. You know, do I still have to battle my flesh? Yeah, I do. Until the Lord comes back and this world is changed for me. When I get a new body, new mind, I get that life-quickening spirit that he has promised when he returns, no more battle. Oh, that's going to be a nice day. No more, just peace. Knowing exactly who, what, everything is going about. No doubts, no frustrations. That's a different realm. But right now, I don't have that. Right now, I got to renew my mind. Right now, I got to choose to do the will of the Father. Because there is a day coming when I will have a new mind and he will write the word in my heart. But that day hasn't happened. So, verse 29 again. If you know that he is righteous, and that this is what the sense of, you absolutely are fully convinced and absolutely know for a surety in your heart that our Lord is righteous, then, and everyone that doth righteousness is born of him. Everybody who walks like him, those are the people who are born of him. Those are the people who are walking in this power of God in their life. You know, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. When you think of the incredible blessings our Lord has died for us, he gave it all. He gave himself. He transferred his righteousness to us and our sins to him. When you think of this kind of love, when you think of that kind of it's unprecedented that God Almighty would love us so much that he would allow us to be called the sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. I mean, the world doesn't understand this anymore, or anything that comes out of my... You need Christ. This world, if it wants deliverance, it needs Christ. If it wants peace, it needs Christ. It needs God and Christ. It needs to come to the truth because the prince of the power of the air rules. I mean, you got one or the other. You're serving one God or the other. Those that are serving the Lord and abide in him are walking in his steps. And I personally struggle, and so do you, because I know what the scripture says. I struggle to do the right thing according to the word. You know? But I'm going to hold myself in, because the other aspect is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. We can walk like our Lord. Beloved, verse 2, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't know exactly what I'm going to look like and how old I'm going to be. I mean, I'm sure I'm not going to be stuck being 68 forever. All right, so, 28. But I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to, 28 would be better. But you know what? It's not important, because the God of mercy, the God who has promised us above and beyond anything that we can ask or think, and loves us so very much, it'll be beautiful. We are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him, he purifies himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgress also the law. People who sin are lawless. They transgress the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. You know, that they practice. And that's the other, like I said, habitualness, a practicing of. That's what this, a practice sin, and they're guilty of lawlessness. Now, King James doesn't do a good job of showing you this habitualness or this practice. Some of the other versions do. Most of them fall short. But let me just give you the sense of what it should be. Whosoever there habitually commits sin, transgresses, or practices lawlessness. For sin is the transgression of the scripture, the law. For you know that he that was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. We absolutely know that Christ came, and his sacrifice literally transferred. You have that dual transfer. When he died and bled, and he paid that price, and we identify with what he did for us, he took upon himself the sin, our sin, and he transferred to us his righteousness. We're justified by his blood, not by our work, not by anything that we've ever done. So you know, you're absolutely convinced that he was manifest. He came, and he did what he did. All right? To take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth, and there's that word again. It's always, as I told you last week and the week before, this is conditional. This is not because you got the Spirit automatically, you're doing the right thing, and you got to choose. You have to choose to abide in Him. If you habitually abide in Him, you sin not. Whosoever habitually sinneth, hath not seen Him, neither knows Him. If you practice righteousness, then you abide in Him and you don't sin. If you practice habitually sin, then you don't know Jesus and you don't know the Father. Yeah, you may say the words. I used to say them a lot in a curse. You know, before I ever knew Jesus, and before I ever really knew the Father, I used to use it. There were their names and curses all the time, but I didn't know them. The Lord forgave me. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. And again, this is a deception. He that doth righteousness, he that habitually practices righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You know who the righteous ones are? It's not the ones that got the right things to say. It's the people who practice living and doing what Jesus Christ lived and did. There are people who think, oh, this is a great guy, you know, or there's a whole lot of, you know, things that people run through their head. And whether it's, and you see it all the time, whether it's in the sense of the entertainment industry or this or that or the other, it's how you live. And I watch this with the preachers. Okay, that's the one, you know, those guys, you know, they get in my radar. You know, multi-billion-dollar organizations, they got more planes than they know what to do with. And you're telling me that you're begging me for money on your thing. And, I can think of a whole lot of things you could do with all that. I think you only really need one plane, if you need one at all. But, you know, that sticks in my craw, right? And then they get arrested or embarrassed, and they embarrass the entire church. And I remember Baker, he took out the whole church in Christianity. The priests in the Catholic Church, they get disgraced. I mean, who thinks about, which unbeliever out there really thinks that, religious guys, they live one, they say one thing and they do another. He that does righteousness is righteous. And he, verse 8, he that habitually practices and commits sin is of the devil. Now you can tell what sin is by what the scripture says. You know, shedding innocent blood, that's of the devil. It's an Old Testament term for murdering somebody without a cause. You got no reason, but you murder them. Okay? That's of the devil. That's not godly. Those who practice righteousness are righteous. Okay? People who lash back, lose their mind, not of God. Right? You got to judge what goes on, who says what, how everything is done, and you got to figure out in your own head, and that's primarily where I got to deal with myself. I got to deal every day with this thing that's between my ears. Am I walking like my Lord, or am I being dragged back to that street mentality? Oh, it's so easy to go back there. It's unbelievable how easy it is to go back in that direction. When I get on guard like I am now, when things get serious, it's much easier to walk with my Lord. Because I'm on guard, you know? I know this obvious attack, right? On my walk with the Lord. It's when I'm with my friends and I'm just hanging out and everything's comfortable, and then stupid stuff comes my way. You know, at least that's a lot for me in so many ways. You know, we're supposed to be on guard. We're supposed to keep every thought obedient to Christ. So let's go back to verse 8. He that commits sin, habitually practices sin, is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now I know that people go, right, but keep it in the context. The reason Jesus Christ came was to give those that believe a chance not to walk with the devil. He has given us the Spirit. He has given us this new nature. He has broke the bonds I was paid for. I was bought with a price, it says in Corinthians. He paid for me. So I wouldn't be subject to this spiritual darkness. Remember, I was a child of wrath, it says in Ephesians. I was by nature one of the children of wrath. I am no longer, that's not my master anymore. My master has bought me with the price of his blood. He came. He did the job. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil, the hold that the devil has. Whosoever is born of God doth not habitually commit sin. The person who is the child of God. Now, if you thought about it, well, you know, if you read this in just King James, it says, whoever is born of God did not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And for years and years and years, I believe, because I had the Spirit within me, well, it doesn't matter. I can't sin. I can, you know, literally I can do. That's just the body. And the real me is righteous, and I don't take any responsibility for what goes on in my life. That's absolutely nonsense. Just read chapter 1 here. Go to chapter 1. Chapter 1 sings a completely different tune than that one. It says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You think that you're just pure as the driven snow? I'm sorry. You're deceiving yourself. If we confess our sin, now if I got the Spirit of God and I don't sin, then why would I have to confess it? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And, you know, you just, this verse is just badly in chapter 3. It's just badly translated. It should be, whosoever is born of God doth not habitually practice sin. For his seed, that nature, that abiding nature, remains in him. And he cannot sin or does not habitually practice sin. Because he is born of God. You know, I am a sinner. That is not news. That is not news to me. It's not news to my wife. It's not news to anybody who knows me. I'm a flawed man. I endeavor to walk according to God's word. And I fail and I fall on my face time and time and time again. And anybody that I've really ever known, and I'm not pointing fingers, has pretty much been the same. We endeavor. And when we got it, we're doing it, we do it. And as the years have gone by, I have practiced. And, you know, practicing means you have to keep it up. You have to keep it up, right? You have to rehearse it all the time. No, I don't want to think this thought. No, I choose not. You know, the scripture says, steal, and I won't steal. When a thought comes, nope, this is what God's word says. That's what Jesus did when he was tempted. He brought the word to bear that was directly related to that which he was being tempted by. Okay? So, we practice righteousness. And the reason I have to keep practicing it is because I drop the ball once in a while. But the people who endeavor to walk with him and abide in him, they're habitually practicing and trying, they sin. And when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We confess our sin, and we ask for forgiveness, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. What a merciful God. What a merciful, merciful, merciful Father. That nature remains in him. The reason he's doing this, he's trying, he's got the nature. You know, and when we got that conscience, we got the Lord within us. Hey, that's not right. You know, I mean, right after you do it, you know you did it wrong. We got that nature in us. He cannot habitually practice sin because he is born of God. And it's not he can't. It says he does not. You know, it's not, you know, he's trying. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. There's two gods, and you're either in one camp or you're in the other. There's no in between. The unbelievers are in the camp of the devil. The believers who abide in him are in God's camp. The people who believe that are not disciplining themselves to do the word of God are in the devil's camp. Who's your father? The father is the one, think about it this way. The father is the one who has the greatest influence over you. Is it the world? Then it's your father is the devil. If it's God, then your father is the Almighty. Who's got the greatest influence? Who are you following? Who is your father? It's not talking about, see, I mean, it's just like, you know, it says in Ephesians, it says in Galatians that we're adopted, right? Jesus Christ was the only begotten of the Father. If you want to go down that road. We choose to believe the gospel, and he places within us that seed. But that seed is not Almighty God's seed, as in the sense that I have my seed in my children. You know, I could impregnate a woman, but that doesn't make me a father. It's the one who fathers them. It's the one, you know, you can have an adopted child and father that child. You have the greatest influence over that kid's life. They're your child. You've chosen to father them. Just having a kid don't make you a father. Anybody can do that almost. And that's the sense here in the scriptures. It's not that you got this special seed. You got this counselor within you. You know, it says in 1 Peter, by the way, it's the word is the seed. Okay? It never says the spirit is the seed. It says the word is the seed. But that's a different teaching. See, verse 10 again. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whoever's practicing righteousness is righteous, walking like Christ, and they are the children of God. And who's ever practicing lawlessness, they refuse to be hemmed in by what Scripture says. They refuse to be, have borders that they can't cross. I mean, what's so thou shalt not kill? What? I mean, it's pretty clear, right? You don't murder people. You don't rob. You don't take the name of the Lord our God in vain. You honor your father and mother. You love your neighbor as yourself. You don't covet his stuff. All of these things are like, socially around. No, but deprived indifference of human life is everywhere around us. Do I have to go through the whole list? And yet it's socially acceptable a lot of times. Very. In fact, they fight. People fight for it. Fight for the right to kill. It's crazy. You and I, we've got to abide in him. Verse 11. And this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and therefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. That's why he killed him. That's why Cain killed Abel, is because he offered a sacrifice and his brother did the right thing. Cain did the wrong thing. And guess what? Cain killed him because he did the right thing. And you're not going to make me look bad. So that's the way it is. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And you got to figure this out. The world is going to hate what you are and what you think. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. You live in death. And I don't think this is talking about just going to die one day. This is talking about death, spiritually. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. We're getting back to the first chapter, 1 John, light, darkness. This is that, there's not a lot of gray here. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It's a life, again, of Christ, service, washing the feet, love as in Judas betrayed him, and he still gave him the sop. He still invited him to come back to Pentecost. There was no vengeance. But whosoever, verse 17, hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Again, it's the people who do practice it, not talk about it. It's a lot of people talk. It's what are you doing? I'd much rather have an individual who gets the thing done than can talk. But you got an awful lot of people, most of them, that, the ones I'm thinking about, probably, they're smooth talkers, but they don't do nothing. And they certainly You know, you can judge it. This is why it's here. This is why he doesn't want God's people to be deceived. You want to know the difference between the believer and the unbeliever? It's the one who walks like Christ, and everybody else is walking with the devil. And it's not what they say. It means nothing. Read all the scriptures. You know, all them Pharisees, they could read and quote all those scriptures. They studied that book inside and out. And they were dead wrong. And killed Christ. So you tell me. What did I leave off? 17? No. 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. You know, my conscience, my heart, when it condemns me, I have to repent. And when I know that I'm doing something wrong, I just stop it. Repent. Ask for forgiveness, like it says in the first chapter. Get back, get it right. If you know what? Nothing's really bothering me with that, then I have confidence towards God. When I'm out of fellowship, when I'm really out of sorts with him, I really have a hard time believing that I'm going to get my prayers answered. But when I'm really confident that I've been doing the will and really doing my best, he hears. And whatsoever, and that's exactly what it's talking about, just like it did in John chapters 13 and 14, when you're doing the will of God, whatsoever you ask in prayer, you'll get, right? It said that. And then verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See, when you have that fellowship with him, you get those kinds of prayers answered. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth, he lives there, he dwells in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. I know I got this because of that Spirit. If you go to, I got another minute. Go to the Gospel of John. Chapter 15. These 11 verses that are here in John 15, the first 11 verses, are pretty much everything that we had just talked about, except it's not talking, it's talking from, I want you to understand this from a doctrinal point of view. It's an illustration, an example of the doctrinal message that Jesus Christ taught about walking with the Spirit and staying, abiding in him. What we read in 1 John is a warning, right? I'm writing this to you who know so that you're not deceived, okay? It's the only difference. It's just the perspective in which you're looking at it, all right? I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, the farmer. Jesus is the vine, and God is the husbandman or the farmer. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide, live, dwell, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. We cannot do anything of ourselves. Christ said that of himself. I can't do anything except the Father send me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Fruit, real fruit, benefit. And if a man abides not in me, okay, here it is, you know all about it, but you don't abide in him. He is cast forth as the branch and is withered, and men gather them up unto the fire, and they are burnt. I think 1 John, says they got death in them. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that now you can't get away with what this abiding is all about. This is not about meditation. This is not about just nice feelings or singing songs. It's the word has to dwell in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Again, your prayer life and your association, your commitment, your walking like Christ, your absolute dedication to do exactly what God Almighty says in his word, like our Lord did, your absolute dedication to serve as he served, to love as he served, to love as he loved, and to do the Father's will the way he did it. And what you ask in your prayers, when you live this way, you ain't got no room for selfishness and evil. You don't have any room in your heart for any of these foolish things. God will supply. He'll give. See, selfishness is basically what sin is. All just think about it. Stealing, why just steal? Because you were selfish. You wanted somebody else's thing. You didn't want to pay for it. Yeah. Herein is my Father glorified, verse 8. That you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. To walk a life like this is a life of joy. We don't want to be deceived. Like I said, there's an awful lot of people that probably did sell me a bridge or two along the way in life because they talked pretty good. And I couldn't see it until later. It's the preacher is not the one to follow that just talks nice. How does he live? What does he do when things get tough? What's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Do they sin? You better believe it. But everybody does. And again, if you want perfection, the only one you got that in is the Lord. If you want an excuse, then you use men and their sins as excuses. But the one who does righteousness, practices righteousness, those are the ones that are righteous. And you are the people who are the salt of the earth. You are the lights of the world. Shine and keep your commitment. Be the healing balm Speak like Christ. Walk like Christ. You want to change the world, do that. Okay? Outside of that, I can do nothing. Outside of that, I can accomplish nothing. So I love you all very, very much. And can you please talk to me? Because I can hear. Ah. Oh, yeah. You know, Denise Edwards was going to be here this morning, but she took a neighbor to the hospital. So pray for him. Because we were going to have, we have it actually. We made her a nice cake because today's her birthday. So if you get it, get a, if you know her number and you've talked to her before, I mean, you can always call her and say happy birthday. We're thinking about you. And that's the kind of, yeah, I just wanted to let you know that. So, you know, I was going to even be tempted to sing to her, but I'd spare you all. I'd spare you all. So I'm going to switch this microphone again. So, but I love you all very much. Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercies. Help us to walk like our Lord walked, Father. The power that we need is there. The love that we need is there. Everything we need is right there within us in that beautiful, beautiful spirit that you have placed within us. You've placed it there, Father, and you've given us power, you've given us light, you've given us so that we can be the witness that you want us to be. And we praise you, we love you, and we're so grateful that we can participate. Thank you for working within us the will and to do of your good pleasure, for forgiving us our sins, and helping us to walk exactly like he would walk in the midst of this dark and perverse world. But you've called us to be your children. So we praise you and love you. And I am just so grateful for your people, Father. Take care of them all over the world. And deal with all those that are in authority over other men's lives. Every one of these people. Deal with them so that your word can move. So that your people can lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. And I ask you to take care of these things, Father. We place them in your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.